Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
If you would please find Ephesians chapter 4, we return to our study in the book of Ephesians. We'll begin in verse 25. It may be helpful if you find this piece of paper. It is entitled, Discovering Your Priceless Treasures in Christ by Bringing Joy to God's Spirit. By bringing joy to God's Spirit, that's God's call. You see, our objective is so simple. Once you've given your life to Jesus Christ, His Spirit starts to indwell you. And then He encourages you, He empowers you to stop those self-defeating beliefs and behaviors that we all battle. You see, He wants us to bring joy to His Spirit as we win in the battle. Let me put it this way. To get there, ask this question. What grieves God's indwelling Holy Spirit? What grieves Him? Would you make this note on your worksheet where the heart is? Here's God's goal. He wants you to connect His truth to your daily living. He wants you to not only hear His word, He wants you to live it, to obey it. Your discipleship should not be simply based in knowledge, but in obedience. God wants you to know and then to do His word, to live it out every day. That is His call for us. I liked the story about the Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school teacher was teaching the fourth graders and trying to make the link between the sin in our life, that daily battle with sin, and the living Word of God. And so the Sunday school teacher said to the class, I'll give you a sin, and then I want you to give me a connecting scripture that would help you battle that sin. And so she said, now let me ask you this, Billy. What if Billy is watching the television and Billy's mother says, Billy, come to the kitchen. It's time for you to quit watching TV and work with me and clean up the dishes. And what if Billy says, no, mother? What scripture comes to mind, children? So one little boy raised his hand and said, Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents. Very good, very good. That's exactly right. Susie, what if you go into the store and you find some candy in there that you really like? And you decide that you don't have any money, so you just take that candy and put it down in your pocket and steal it. One little girl raised her hand and she said, thou shalt not steal. Exodus chapter 20. Very good, very good. What if Johnny is pulling a dog's tail and making the dog howl with pain? Everybody thought a moment, and the little boy raised his hand, and he said, what God has joined together, let man not pull asunder. Okay, that'll get us there. The point is, we've got to connect to our daily lives the truth of God's Word, and that's what I want us to do today as we come to Ephesians chapter 4, because we are going to find here some practical points to apply to our daily lives. Why? So that we will not only avoid grieving God's indwelling Holy Spirit, but we will bring Him joy. Let's begin here, Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, lay aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 26, be angry, and yet do not sin. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Verse 28, let him who steals steal no more, but rather let him work, performing with his own hands what is good in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And this ties it all together. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let's pray. Dear Father, pray again that you would push me out of the way, set me aside, so that your Spirit would take these vital truths about how to live each day in victory and bring joy to you because of our obedience. Father, take these truths and apply them to every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Now, before we plunge into this study, let me clarify something with you. The Bible tells us that we can blaspheme the Holy Spirit, we can quench His Spirit, and then we can also grieve His Spirit. Let me break those down. Some people have come to me over the years and said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm afraid that I have committed the unpardonable sin. I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit." And I've been quick to explain what that really means. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit, to engage in the unpardonable or unforgivable sin, simply means that you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and you reject Him. You understood that He died on the cross for you, He shed His blood for you, and you have thumbed your nose at Him, you've turned your back, you've walked away, you've rejected Him, you've mocked Him. That is the unpardonable sin. I would suggest if you are here today, if you have authentically followed Christ, it would be impossible for you to have committed a sin of blasphemy, a sin of unforgiveness against the Spirit of God. That's when you reject Him. But what is quenching the Spirit of God? Have you ever had that internal prompting, that sense of God wants me to talk to this person, to share a witness, to be an encourager, to make a gift, to help somebody? And you have put cold water on that prompting. Just like you would douse a fire with cold water, you have said no. You know what that is? That's quenching the Spirit of God. But there's another category, and this is what we learn today in Ephesians 4. You can grieve the Spirit of God. Now, you see, you can grieve people who love you when you don't do what's right, when you reject the truth, when you go your own way. You can only cause grief to people who love you, actually. So we want to understand what it means to bring joy to God's indwelling Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus in us, and not grief. Well, let me show you four areas that Paul underlines for you. Number one, we can grieve God's Holy Spirit within us when, make this note, when truth is not communicated. You can grieve the Spirit of God when truth is not communicated. You saw that in verse 25. Therefore, lay aside falsehood, lay aside lies and deceptions, and speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So we grieve the Holy Spirit when we step out of the light of truth and we step into the darkness of deception. And let me remind you, look on your worksheet, please. John chapter 8 says this, Jesus speaking, "You belong to your father," he said to some liars who were masquerading as religious people. He said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar, the father of lies." Friends, when you speak lies and deception, you look like the devil. So the scripture says, don't get into the darkness of deception. Stay into the light of God's truth. Now, let's quickly acknowledge that we live in a society that seems to be surrounded and filled with deceptive practices. There seems to be an epidemic of fraud and scams. Quick illustration. Have you ever turned on your email and gotten this email that says, "Congratulations, you've won a big inheritance? And all you need to do to collect it is just give me your Visa number and your Social Security number and your children's birth dates, and we'll send you all this money." Have you ever seen that one? Like maybe once a day, you'll get a fraud, some scam, because the internet connects us with all the deceivers in the world. Now, friends, I'm here to tell you, we live in a world that is filled with scams and frauds, and consequently, our spirit can become scalded and we can become very skeptical and distrusting. We're surrounded by advertisements that make false claims. Advertisements say, if you just buy this product, You'll be smarter. You'll be more handsome. You'll be more prosperous and successful. Do you believe that bunk? No. And yet we're surrounded by it. So it scalds our spirit. I would urge you, my friend, to understand that God is calling you and me to be people who walk in the light of His truth. And we grieve His spirit when we do not communicate truth, when we communicate deception. Do you remember the classic story? In another era, there was a guy who had a butcher shop in the neighborhood. And one day this lady was walking by the butcher shop. She realized she needed a chicken. She went into the shop and the butcher realized it's the end of the day. He only had one chicken left. And he thought, oh, I hope I can sell this chicken. It's kind of getting old. I need to get rid of this last chicken and the day will be complete. And this lady walks in and says to her butcher friend, hey, do you have a 2-pound chicken? I need a 2-pound chicken for supper. He said, well, let me check in the ice. And he pretends to dig around in the ice. And he said, I got one. Here you go. This is about right. She said, well, really, I wanted one a little bigger than that. I said, okay. So he puts it back down to the ice. He pretends to dig around and he holds up the same chicken. He said, would this one do? She said, well, that's just right. I'll take both of them. When first we practice to deceive, what a wicked web we weave. A web that will catch us. That's how it works. So the scripture says, be careful. When you start to be a merchant of falsehood, you will be caught by your deception. So here's the target of God. He wants us to speak the truth. And did you catch it in the last part of verse 25? Why? Because we are members of one another. Speak the truth because we're related to each other in the body of Christ. Why would a fellow Christian deceive or lie or be part of a sham or a fraud? You know how ridiculous that would be? Imagine this. Imagine that you're going to go take a bath and you've drawn a tub of water and part of your body, the hand, who has very sensitive sensors on the fingers, touches the water to see if it's hot or cold. And imagine your hand touches the water and it is scalding hot. What if the hand said, I'm going to play a really mean trick on the rest of the body and tell my brain that the water is just right, so that when the leg and the body gets in there, I'll burn him. Would any hand do that? Well, of course not. That would be absurd. You see, the hand is the protector of the rest of the body. And so in the same way, what are we to do to one another? We are to speak God's truth in love because we are connected to each other. It should be totally unnatural to deceive a fellow member of the body of Christ. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Speak the truth. That's what we're called to do. Number two, would you make this note? You grieve the Holy Spirit of God when temper is not controlled. When the temper is not controlled. Look at verse 26 again. Be angry, yet do not sin, and don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, admittedly, some anger is righteous indignation. You see some wrong that needs to be righted and anger arises in you. That's one category, but it's a small category that I've seen. Generally, anger is sinful, hurtful, and destructive. Generally, our anger is in the categories described here on your worksheet in James chapter 1. What does the scripture say here? My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why? Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, friend, I've discovered that there are a lot of people who are angry. Menorah Myers Clinics even coined a phrase called rageaholics. A rageaholic is somebody who has a hair trigger and they enjoy getting angry. They enjoy displaying their emotions and even spewing their anger out on other people. Maybe that has just described you, or maybe you live with somebody who is a rageaholic. And so you always find yourself walking on eggshells because you are very afraid that you might disturb them and incur or trigger their wrath. You see, if you are a believer and you are playing that game of rageaholicism, then you're not only cheating yourself, you're hurting those who love you, and you are grieving the Spirit of God who lives within you. You're bringing Him pain. And the scripture says grief, because that is not how God has designed you. Oh, my friend, you know you can control that anger. And you may be protesting, but I'll prove it to you. You can control that anger. All right, I'll give you a page from my playbook. I have a fabulous wife. I'm a wolf who married a fox. I love Mary Ruth with my whole heart forever. And yet there have been occasions when we have had discussions. Sometimes intense discussions about our deeply held beliefs, especially when you're trying to raise four kids and pastor a church and deal with bills and everything that you run into in this world. And so I've had occasions when we've been having these discussions, and intense discussions, and all of a sudden, bring, the phone rings. And so I say, almost in mid-sentence, honey, just a second. I look down and there's caller ID. Oh, okay, there's Kenny. I got to talk to him. Hey, Kenny, how you doing, buddy? Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I got that covered. No problem. You've done that too. Don't look at me like you hadn't done that. And you know what that proves? You can control your emotions. You're not some sort of hapless balloon blown by the wind. You can control it. And so the scripture says, if you don't, what do? You grieve the Spirit of God who dwells in you, and He calls you to self-control. He calls you to discipline. So the scripture says, if you want to bring joy to the Holy Spirit, control your emotions. Communicate truth. Let's go to number three. You can grieve God's Holy Spirit when theft is not corrected. When theft is not corrected. Let's look at verse 28 here. Let him who steals steal no more, but rather let him labor. Let him work, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with those who are in need. In other words, God is calling us not to steal. That's one of the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal. God is calling us in this world of takers to become His giver, His sharer. Let me expand your definition. Stealing is more than a midnight home invasion. Stealing is more than a robbery. Stealing can be when a student takes an answer during a test that didn't belong to him. That's a form of thievery and stealing. Stealing can occur when you pad an expense account and you write down a bigger number than what it actually cost you to turn in. Stealing is when you don't give your full effort when your employer is giving you a full paycheck. That's a form of stealing. I'll never forget when I was in seminary, I had an evening job. I worked at a place called Yellow Freight Line, still around. And whenever I see those trucks, I'm reminded of that experience. I worked from 11 at night to 7 in the morning. In New Orleans, that was a pretty surreal time to go bumping around. But I would go to class during the day and then work at night, make some money. And they paid triple minimum wage. So I thought, man, this is a great deal. I had a good back, weak mind. I was perfect for that kind of work. So here I was unloading trucks, and one morning about 2 a.m. in the morning, and I mean, this is hot, it is dirty, stanky work, it's real work. So I'm back there unloading this truck, and I go to the back of this truck and I find one of my buddies asleep back there. He's just like snoring. And all of a sudden, I had a moment of righteous indignation. So I shook him and I said, hey pal, we've got a truck to unload. They didn't pay you to come back here and sleep. You're getting triple minimum wage. This is wrong. It's like you're stealing. And what's more, you're doubling my workload. This is not right. And I kind of expected an unwholesome word response to come right back to me. But you know what? When I called him out, he stood up and he got to work. He said, you're right. I'm wrong. So I'm here to tell you there are a lot of ways that you can steal, and yet God calls you as His child to not grieve His Spirit, but to bring joy to His Spirit when you do what is right. And why? Look at the rest of the verse. You see, when you learn to work, then you've got something to share with those who are in need. Did you get it? Why do we work? So that we can have surplus to share with those in need. He wants us to share. That's better than stealing. And let me give you a bonus thought, parents. Here's the bonus thought. If you don't teach your child to work, you teach your child to steal. Some of you need to get that down in your spirit. If you don't teach your child how to work, if you teach them to be lazy, if you teach them entitlement, do you know what you're eventually teaching them? You're teaching them how to be a thief. So take that to heart. As you come with me to number four, we can grieve God's Holy Spirit within when talk is not clean, when our talk is not clean. I want you to think this through. We live in a world that's filled with foul communications and contaminated communications. Our media just seems to have this constant flow of ugly, filthy, profane communication. Jane Ferguson was talking with us the other day about our work at the Nehemiah Center, and she said there's a little kid that comes in the after-school program, maybe 6 years old, maybe 5 years old, but every other word is this terrible profanity. Every other word is an expletive. You know, that's all this kid hears. But it's really disruptive to the other children. Well, friends, what do we hear in the media? I mean, it is so foul. I was talking to a friend about this who's an older guy like me, and we were remembering Gone with the Wind. Do you remember Clark Gable? And he was Rhett Butler. And the very conclusion of the movie, Scarlett comes running up to Rhett Butler and says, oh, what will I do? And he looks at her and he says, frankly, my dear, and you know what he didn't give. And the audience, when they heard that on the big screen, they, oh my goodness, he just uttered a profanity here on the big silver screen. God help us. What have we fallen to? The airwaves are filled with pornography and filth and sewage, and we've just become almost immune to it. We accept it. Now be careful, parents. When Mary Ruth and I would be watching television and something really ugly would come on, I mean, what do you do? It's too late. We would just tell our kids, hey, Jason, Sarah, we are Jesus people and we don't talk that way. That's not the way Jesus wants us to talk. You see, we grieve the Spirit of God when we talk in such a way that it's profane. But let me expand the definition, because the rest of that scripture says, don't use any unwholesome words. But instead, what are we to do? We're to edify. In other words, don't gossip. Don't slander. Don't criticize people. You know what gossip is? It's saying something you like about somebody you don't. That's what it is. And it's so easy to just inject that into a conversation and to slander someone's reputation. Oh, you can unravel somebody by just a word or two that torches them. But the Bible says that we bring joy to our Heavenly Father when we speak words of purity, edification, witness, strengthening, encouragement. That brings joy to God's heart. Well, let me finish up. Here's the bottom line. Here's the conclusion. Here's what I want you to do. You see, bring joy to the indwelling Holy Spirit by doing the opposites. That's it. He just wants you to do the opposites. He wants you to communicate His truth, control your emotions. He wants you to serve as givers. He wants you to speak words that build up and lift Him up and lift up others. Do the opposites. I've read a story about a man named Robert Sanchez. He was the pastor of a Baptist church in New York City in 1963. It was December. It was a brutally cold day. And he had gone to a cemetery near to his church, and he saw a woman sobbing. She was grieving. She was crying so hard that her body was shaking. And he walks up to this woman, and he puts his hand on her shoulder, and he said, "Ma'am, I'm a pastor. I can see that you are in deep grief." She said, "Yes, I'm grieving for my son. His name is Lee Harvey Oswald. And he's done a terrible thing. He killed President Kennedy. And yet he is my beloved son. And I am grieving for what he did and for his death." You see, if you love somebody and they've walked out of the light and into the darkness, what do? You grieve for them. That's how the Lord loves you. He loves you so much that when you step away from Him, when you lose the battle and you believe the lie and you live the lie, it breaks His heart, but you have the converse capacity to bring Him joy. Let's covenant to do so. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, we need your help to communicate your truth, to control our emotions, to serve as your givers, to speak words that lift you up and build up others. It's hard because this world we live in is corrupted, cynical, and deceptive. Father, forgive us for our sin and rebellion that breaks your heart and causes you grief. Lord, we pray that you would allow your transforming truth to help us look and sound, walk and talk like you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.